to be shut in with God.
Amen. Thank you very much. God bless you. Trust you're all well. Trust you all know where we're going this evening in your Bible. It's Ruth, chapter 3. So we're going to have a look at this and we're going to dig in. We're going to see a few things here as we're studying on the great women of the Bible. So trusting God will bless. So let's stand to our feet in honor of the Word of God. And we'll read a verse and then we'll sit back down again and dive in and have a look. So, Ruth chapter 3 and verse 1. And it says, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the beautiful examples that you put in your word. We ask that you'd open them to us in a way that would encourage us and give us strength as we walk this life, trying day by day and step by step to be closer to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may take your seats. Well, where to start? Let's do a quick reminder here, okay? And we've been studying, and as we've been studying the scriptures, we've seen this progression of a young lady growing into a mother, growing into a grandmother, and fulfilling in all those portions of her life the role or the obligation that God has put on a woman. God puts obligations on men and women. We're all here, I mean, really, to serve him and to express his character, because God is not a man and God is not a woman. God is God, and in order to express himself fully in all of his character, he said, I need both a man and a woman to express those different aspects of me. And so you're going to say, every sister in here is called to express the glory of God just as much as every brother in here is called to express the glory of God, but you're called to express different parts of the glory of God. But nonetheless, it's no less glorious for being expressed in a man than in a woman, or vice versa. And that's an important thing to realize. And we're seeing here one of the most beautiful scriptures or stories in scripture of the expression of the glory of God. Because Naomi and Ruth, and remember, we're taking this that this could be called the book of Naomi because Naomi's name is mentioned more than Ruth's name. Okay, they're both on a path that they're in a track of abject failure. Naomi has been a failure. All her life has collapsed around her. Her motherhood has collapsed around her when her sons died. Her wifehood has collapsed around her when her husband died. Her membership in the family of Israel has collapsed around her when her husband took her out of the land. Okay? And sometimes you may feel like your whole life has collapsed around you because of decisions of others, because of the bad result of what has been imposed on you that's beyond your control. But what I want you to realize tonight, and just look at this, you are in the middle of your story. We can say to Naomi, when we look at this, wow, isn't it amazing how God raised up Naomi to bring Ruth, to bring David, to bring Jesus. Okay? But trust me, Naomi and Ruth were not thinking that as they were going through their day-to-day existence, with Ruth going out into the field and gleaning and staying faithful and staying clean and saying, the most important thing to me is to make sure my mother-in-law, this woman that I love, is fed through the winter, even though she's old and she's useless and she can't work and she's just a burden on society and we do better, you know, developing some kind of Canadian euthanasia program. Okay? The modern thought. Okay? But there's a value, oh, brothers and sisters, you know, there is a value, incomparable value in every man and woman in here, from the youngest, which looks like it's Tiffany, to the oldest. No comment. Okay? It doesn't matter. There's a value. And you know what? Here's the thing, that the value in having those among us that we have to help, okay, is what it shows us about ourselves. What it shows us about our love for life. What it shows us about our love for God, because the Bible says you can't say you love God and then not love your fellow brothers and sisters. Okay? So there's Ruth on this path of failure, and the Bible talks about taking care of the widows. Why? Because they had no one else to provide for them. Okay? And Ruth is on the path of failure as well, and she's dedicated her life, instead of dedicating her life into bringing new life into the world, into serving her husband, into becoming that mother, becoming that grandmother, and seeing her generations spread the glory of God and spread the blessings of God as she goes through life, she said, it's better for me to express the glory of God. Okay, now I'm sure she's not thinking this way. She's just, there's something in her that says, I want to make sure that Naomi is looked after to the best of my ability, because if I send her back on her own, who knows what's going to happen. All right? And so I'm going to step up and take that responsibility in as much as I can and sacrifice my roles that I would naturally want to be in order to make sure Naomi is okay. And isn't that love? Isn't that the glory of God expressed? And God sometimes gets a little frustrated. We can see that in the scripture. And there's been a couple of times where he said, hey, Moses, listen, these people, they're just not worth the trouble anymore. Tell you what, I'm going to wipe them all out. I'll start over again. I'll start with you. Okay? And Moses, he was in that situation. He said, well, I just want to remind you, what are the Egyptians going to say about you if you can't even, you know, take this people into the land you promised them? They'll say, God just brought them out to kill them. You see? And if you like, that's the two sides of God, the judgment of God and the mercy of God. And you know, talking to someone last night, like, dads, you're really good at bringing the judgment of God into a situation. Mums are really good at bringing the mercy of God into the situation. The balance is somewhere in the middle. And that's why we need mums and dads, you know. So dads, listen to mums. And mums, listen to dads when you're bringing up your kids, because otherwise they're going to get imbalanced one way or another. Okay? So, but now we see, and this is really wonderful. We see God working in Naomi, because she's not thinking of herself. Okay? She's not thinking, well, I got to make sure I'm taken care of. She's thinking as well, I got to make sure that Ruth is taken care of. And she has something that Ruth doesn't have. She has the knowledge of the children of Israel, of the laws of God. She has the experience. She knows. She's seen in her past how these things have been done. And so she says, "Shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" And isn't that wonderful if we could all get to a situation where, what does the Bible say? Look not on your own needs, but look everyone onto the needs of others. How's that scripture go? You know the one I'm talking about. Okay? If I can look after your needs and not worry about my needs, but trust God for my needs, and God in you is going to take care of my needs, and God in me is going to take care of your needs. Right? That's the way it's meant to be. The body of Christ. Okay? Which, the oneness of God in receiving as well. Okay? So if there's someone who never, ever likes to let anyone pay for lunch ever, maybe they should receive once in a while a blessing from someone else. So, oneness of God in giving and receiving. And that is the joy of fellowship that Naomi and Ruth had together, that they're both in love with each other, looking after each other, giving to each other, receiving from each other, and the wisdom of Naomi recognizes there's a need that needs that must be met, and there's a way to meet that need. Okay? Verse 2, "And now, is not Boaz of our kindred with whose maidens thou was? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore and anoint thee, put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known to the man till he have done eating and drinking." But hold on, I want to stop there for a second, because this just came to me, and probably people already knew this. But you think about this. What's the threshing floor? Okay? The threshing floor is where you take the grain that's still in the husk, and you thresh it. Essentially, you beat it. That's winnowing. Okay? So the threshing is beating the grain, and you'd have maybe animals tread over it to break the husk off of the grain. And then you would winnow it, where you'd throw it up in the air, and the wind would blow the light stuff away, and the heavy stuff would fall back. And that way you're separating the seed from the husk. And I thought, okay, so now we're getting into something where we say, is this not a story? Is this not an example that we should be paying attention to in this day and hour, because it's separating time before gathering the grain into the barn? You don't gather the unwinnowed grain into the barn. You thresh it, you winnow it, you prepare it for storage, you put in the barn. You get rid of the dry stuff that could potentially take in the moisture and start infections in the grain, okay? You separate that out. And we are living in separating time. I want you to keep that in mind as we go through the study, that there are so many things that apply to us to say we are also on a path, we believe, and in the middle of our story. But God has given us these hints in the Bible that show us we're on a path from a hopeless situation into a glorious situation. We're on a path from being a widow and barren and unfruitful in the things of God to being the most fruitful, the most productive, the producer of God himself manifest in flesh again. Okay? But this doesn't happen by saying, oh, I've got to produce God. Produce God. It doesn't happen by Ruth saying, where's the husband I need? Where's the man I need to look after my life and to give me a son who'll look after me? It doesn't happen that way. It happens by looking after Naomi. Okay? It happens by working what's put before you to do. There's a provision that Ruth can give, by working in the field, and it's hard work. And sometimes you're going to be caught in a place of hard work, but hard work will have its reward. You remember 10 gallons of that bucket that I brought last time? Yeah, I couldn't fill it up with grain, but you know, there's a reward that comes from that working on behalf of others. But we're going to get to something even better tonight, Lord being willing, because I know his time is going on. So, yeah. Naomi bringing the wisdom, all right, and she says, we have a kinsman. Now, let's look in Deuteronomy chapter 25 just to see what she's referencing in the law of God. Okay, verse 5. And so this is going to give us a context for the rest of the story. The rest of the story hinges or looks at this passage. If brethren dwell together, and one of them die and have no children, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her and take her to him to wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn which she beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother that which is dead, that his name will not be put out of Israel. And if the man like not to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate to the elders and say, my husband's brother refuseth to raise up unto his brother a name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Then the elders of his city shall call him and shall speak unto him. And if he stand to it and say, I like not to take her, then shall his brother's wife come unto him in the presence of the elders and loose his shoe from off his foot and spit in his face and shall answer and say, so shall it be done to the man that will not build up his brother's house. And his name shall be called in Israel the house of him who hath his shoe loosed. Okay? So if you're not there to look after your brother's inheritance by taking his wife when he's dead, and then the heir that's born from that union isn't, if you like, my son, isn't counted as my son, even though I've got to invest in time to raise him, to make sure he's taken care of. He's not counted as my son. He's counted as my brother's son and goes and inherits my brother's inheritance. Okay? And so it's a heavy duty to perform, because essentially you are raising a child, you are teaching a child not to inherit your inheritance, but to inherit someone else's inheritance. So it's like a double burden, because you've got to raise your own heir and you've got to raise your brother's heir. Okay? But there's a shame that's associated with somebody who's not prepared to do this. And it's a generational shame that his family will also have that name, that your dad didn't look after his brother. But Naomi knows this, and she says, there's a way out in the law. And brothers and sisters, each one of us should have a little bit of that Naomi wisdom in us. When we see somebody in trouble, when we see somebody in difficulty, to know there is a place in the Word of God where you can find a solution to this problem. Okay? And not just to say, we know it, but also to share it. You have a friend with a sin problem? Have you told them, hey, you can come to Jesus? You have a friend with a sickness problem? Have you told them there's healing in the name of Jesus? You have a friend with whatever kind of problem it is? Are you fulfilling that role and saying, I'm not here to produce God by focusing on myself to produce God. I'm here to produce God by focusing on bringing God's love through me to others. by being a servant, just as Jesus Christ was a servant. He could have come as the Lord of all, but he didn't. He came as the servant of all, and he calls us to follow that. Do you see this dynamic playing out in Ruth and Naomi where Ruth is saying, I'm going to work hard to provide for you without thought for myself. And Naomi is saying, we have a way and I'm not going to hide it. I'm not going to worry about my future. I'm going to worry about your future. I'm here for you, Ruth. You see? Are we here for each other? So, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. It's the last act of the farming before you put the seed in the barn. And brothers and sisters, we got to think, are we in the last act of the harvest before the wheat is gathered into the barn? Then let's pay attention to this and let's bring people that say, do you have a need? Come to the feet of Jesus. So, verse 4, and it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay down, and he will tell you what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Oh, so now we have Ruth's part, okay? And what's Ruth's part? Ruth's part is obedience, okay? Working hard for others, and then when someone tells you to do something, even though it may seem unusual, even though it may seem strange, even though, and as we'll see at the end of the chapter, it's something that could potentially bring shame to her. Because if she had been rejected, if she'd been cast out, Boaz could have taken it very differently and said, what are you trying to do being so open and being so forward? And there was, how shall I put this? Let's just drop down to verse 14. All right, I know it's out of sequence, but just look at this, just to give you a little context, okay? And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. All right? So why did she rise up before you could recognize people? Because she didn't want to be known as the woman who came and lay at Boaz's feet. Why did Boaz say to his servants, his men, his friends around him, the people he'd been partying, he said, hey, guys, if you love me, don't tell anyone that a woman came here tonight. So there's an element of shame involved in this, or it would have been, hey, everyone, tell everyone that Ruth came in here tonight and what a good woman she is. But do you understand the context of this? It's not a simple thing that she did. She's adventuring herself. She's adventuring her reputation as a virtuous woman by going out and doing this, but in obedience to what Naomi told her. Okay? And so, where is God going to ask your obedience to go to? Where is God going to ask? What is God going to ask you to do that seems shameful, that seems wrong, that seems outside of your comfort zone? And are you going to do it? Okay? Because Ruth's obedience is another step of the expression of the glory of God. And she didn't worry, well, won't people think it's shameful? Won't people? And even Naomi told her, listen, wait till everyone's gone to bed to do this. Wait till he's asleep. You know, don't be open about this, but go in secret. It reminds me of another time, okay? You remember this is Matthew 9. And there was a woman with an issue of blood 12 years. And she said, if I can come and touch but the hem of his garment. And she was in a similar situation. She was unclean. She wasn't meant to be touched. People that touched her. Now, you got to understand. All right. Okay. Let me put it this way. All right. Excuse me for picking on you for a second, Sister Mary. But Sister Mary, just touch my hand. Okay. Now, if that had been that woman, all right, I'm sorry. Church service is over. I'm unclean. I can't be in the congregation at the moment. I have to go out. I have to change my clothes. I have to wash. Have to wait 24 hours. Have to offer the proper sacrifice, and then I'll come back in and we'll resume the service after 24 hours. Okay, not saying that you're unclean, but you understand. Just a little touch like that would put that kind of thing in motion for the very religious Jew. Okay? And so there she is hiding in the crowd saying, but I have an inspiration that says, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, just the lowest place, the most humble place, I will be made whole. But it means that I do have to kind of sneak around and risk people shouting at me and saying, I recognize her. She's that unclean woman. Stay away from her. Yeah. What are you prepared to do and put yourself through to touch the hem of his garment and to make yourself whole from the things that are burdening you, that are causing you to be unclean, that are causing you to be separated from the full fellowship of the Lord Jesus? And that's what we're after, the full fellowship of the Lord Jesus. Ah, are you going to be obedient? Verse 6, and she went down unto the floor and did according to all her mother-in-law bade her. Obedience. Okay. And when Boaz had eaten and drunken and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. So, oh, there's a joy and a celebration in completing a job well done that the Lord has given you to do. Okay? So when we get together and we're having one of our potlucks, eat and be merry. Enjoy the good things that the Lord has given us to enjoy. Okay? There's a time for that. Some of us indulge a little too much. Okay? But there's a time. Let's fellowship together around the blessings the Lord has given us. But she came softly, uncovered his feet, and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thy handmaiden, your servant. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaiden, for thou art a near kinsman. There's a song, Cover Me. Do you know that one? Cover me, cover me. Extend the border of thy garment over me, because thou art my nearest kinsman. Cover me, cover me, cover me. That's the same one? You don't know that one? That just touches me. Because here you're coming, and you're coming to the feet of the great man who's given you blessings, who's looked after you. And you come and you touch his feet and you say, Lord, I know you've blessed me with life and you've blessed me with friends. I know that you've blessed me with a good place to live, nice fellowship. I know you've blessed me with a walk in this Christian way. You've given me the bread that I need. You've given me my daily bread. You've answered my prayers when I've prayed for you. But it's not enough. It's not enough. I'm poor. I'm destitute. I stand naked before the elements of the world. The bitter cold could come and I could die. And for all the goodness that you've given me in the past, I have a claim that you are a near kinsman, that you came to earth as a human to die to redeem me. And I thank you for all your blessings, but I need to be a part of your family. I need you to extend your garments over me. I need you to cover me. I need to be under your roof, under your authority. Okay? These are the things that she's asking symbolically, you know. Look at me and have mercy on me. You're in a position to help me. And I come humbly to your feet. All right? And will you help me? And that's an expression of the heart of God, because it echoes back down through the ages. And we can see it in Luke chapter 13. Let's turn there. Okay? And this is the response, the cry of God through the ages. Okay? We'll start at verse 31, just to put in context. The same day came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, Get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. He said unto them, Go ye and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Oh, now what's he talking about there? The third day I shall be perfected. Okay? The third day is the day of my sacrifice. The third day, I am going to be killed. All right? The third day, I see before me and what it's going to cost me. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following. I see the path before me and I'm going to walk it. God on earth. Okay? And this is God as a man. Sometimes, men, you see the path before you and you're like, oh, man, have I got to walk this path? It's, yeah, I see it and I'm going to walk it with all the courage and strength and grace that God has given me. It cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent to thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And there's the heart of God to say, if you touch me and you say, cover me. Oh, I just love that feeling. I'm going to extend my big wings wide. You'll come under my wings and you'll shelter underneath them. You know, and the thing is, when you get chicks under hen's wings, if you like, you've no idea how many are in there. Like they start popping out and it's like, where'd they all come from? Sheltered from the wind, the rain, the elements. Hidden by the camouflage and the protection. Okay? Warm, kept warm by the body warmth of the mother. Okay? Cover me, Lord, cover me. So if you're feeling a bit cold, if you're feeling like the blessings of God are leaving you needing more, be like Ruth. Go to his feet. You're a near kinsman. Cover me. Cover me. Verse 10, and he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. And so it starts off, and he recognizes in her. He recognizes the glory of God in her. For thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than in the beginning. inasmuch as thou hast not followed young men, whether poor or rich. That means she's not followed her own desire to get married, to have children, to fulfill her role as a mother. She's put aside her desires and she has followed after looking after Naomi. And everyone's seen this. Now, my daughter, fear not. I will do unto thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, albeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman unto thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman unto thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning. And it seems to me that in this, and we're going to see it in the next chapter, that Boaz is already thinking, okay, that this is something that I want to do. How can I maneuver the situation to the point where I can take this woman and fulfill that role? Okay? And we'll see that in the next chapter. Because God is looking to fulfill the blessing. Okay? God is looking to be the one who provides the needs. And we know, brothers and sisters, let's talk about spiritual needs, okay? We're going to lay aside the hunger and the thirst and the things of this physical realm, okay? The healings even. That's the thing of this physical realm, because even if God heals you, if he tarries, you're still going to get sick and die, okay? Sorry to be morbid, all right? But in the spiritual, you will never die. And in the spiritual, you have needs. And so the question is, those are your most important needs. We know that. Where are you getting that fulfillment from? You have a need for fellowship. Are you getting it from YouTube or from God? You have a need to find places to relax and take it easy. Are you getting that in a godly way or in an ungodly way? Because there is a very near kinsman who is very happy to meet all your needs, but just not in a godly way. But God is trying to maneuver things so that he is the one who will meet your needs. Lie down until the morning. Verse 14, and she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another, and he said, let it not be known that a woman came in to the floor. And why did he recognize this? Because why did he do this? Why was she a virtuous woman? Was it something that she was trying to be a virtuous woman? Was it something where she was thinking about, how can I be a virtuous woman? Or was it something where she was saying, I need to make sure Naomi is taken care of, and in focusing on someone else, serving someone in a godly way, that brings out the virtue of God. If you're thinking of yourself and how you can be a godly Christian, okay, you are in, you are under the mountain, and Moses is up on the mountain, and you're building your calf to worship, okay? If you're thinking of others and how you can serve others, now you're waiting for Moses to come down and give you the commandments. Do you see? So close, even the elect, all right? But do you see the difference there? If you're thinking, how can I be a Christian? You're thinking of yourself, even though it seems like it's a really like nice thought. What can I do today to show God? Okay? But if you're thinking, how can I serve others today? Now you're putting others before you, and now you're on that godly path. Okay? So, but the desire to be a Christian, to be righteous, is there on both sides. just where are you centering your life? Okay. And he said also, verse 15, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, laid it on her, and she went into the city. Now, again, I am not fluent with ancient Hebrew measurements, and so I look things up and I do my best to say, okay, what does this actually mean? All right. And we saw that the ephah that she gathered the first day, because they were dropping handfuls of purpose, was about 10 gallons, according to what I could find out. She put that in a veil, talking about maybe 50, 60 pounds of, something like that. 6 measures is about 1.5 times that amount. Yeah. From what I'm reading and from what I'm trying to see, okay? So you're going up from about maybe 50, 60 pounds, you know, to maybe 75 to 90 pounds. Well, that's a good question. Okay, we don't know exactly, but my guess is, and I could be wrong here, but my guess is he was like, I'm not sending you home to your mother-in-law empty. Like, hold out your veil. It starts pouring in. You think you can carry that? Like, yeah, I got that. It's like, okay, I'll put some more in. Think you can carry that? It's like, yeah, maybe a bit more. And he filled her up, her veil up with blessings as much as she could carry. All right? Not overflowing, because then Naomi doesn't get the blessing. And I thought, isn't that wonderful? Brothers and sisters, God will give you overflowing blessings for working for others. And that's wonderful. That's what we want. Don't stop working for others. But on her accepting the word of faith that he gave her, just go home and rest. I'll take care of everything. Yeah? He said, I'm going to give you as much blessing as you can carry. Brothers and sisters, wouldn't it be nice to be living our lives, touching the feet of Jesus in the same way that Ruth touched the feet of Boaz, and Jesus looks down on us and he says, just wait, I'll sort everything out. I'll take care of the whole lot. And he says, I'll wait. But meanwhile, how many blessings would you like to carry out to others? I'm going to load you up with blessings so you're staggering around trying to give them out to other people. Wouldn't that be a nice situation to be in? And so how do we get into that? By following Ruth's path, by being thinking of others, by feeding others, by working for others, and then by accepting the faith of God, and he'll give you blessings full and overflowing, abundant, so much so that if he gave you another blessing, you would collapse under the weight of blessings that God has given you. Okay? Sounds like a pretty good situation. But you got to remember, even though she's carrying this big bag of blessings home, she's still going home to her widowed mother, wherever they're living. That hasn't changed. She still doesn't have any hope for the future. Her actual situation has not changed materially, except she's got a big bag of blessings. Yeah? But her faith has changed, because Boaz has said, sit down, I am going to take care of it. And so if you can get to that point in your life with a burden where you say, I believe God is going to take care of it because God has spoken to me and he's confirmed it with these blessings and he's going to take care of it, I'm going to rest in that. What did it matter what her situations were? And she comes home. In verse 16, it's still before anyone can recognize anyone else. It's still in the darky, twilighty, dawny, dusky time of day when you can hardly see one person from another. And she came to her mother-in-law, verse 16, and she said, "Who art thou, my daughter?" See, even Naomi didn't recognize her, probably because she was staggering under a big bag of, you know. And she told her all that the man had done. And he said, "These 6 measures of barley he gave me, for he said unto me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law." And she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he has finished the thing this day." And that reminds me of Philippians. Brothers and sisters, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He is not resting over you. He is asking you to rest in him, but he is not resting over you. And if you've received blessings from the Lord, if you've received that measure of grain from the Lord, if you've received as much as you can, then it's just, what's the Bible say? It's a down payment, a token. What's the first fruits, the earnest, that's the one. It's the earnest of the inheritance. And if you've got the earnest of the inheritance in your life and you can see it and you can recognize it and you have enough blessings to give out to other people, then you know that he who has began that good work is going to be faithful to complete it. Brothers and sisters, that's the indwelling Holy Spirit living in your life and manifesting the goodness of God in you. But if you look at your life and you see, oh, I'm a Christian, I get all fuzzy feelings when we sing, or, you know, when I hear the cello playing and it's really nice and I praise God, but I go out and I feel kind of empty and I'm just working, and I don't feel like I've got the indwelling blessings. Brothers and sisters, especially you young ones, that's the time when you have to go to the feet of Jesus and touch his garment and say, "You've given me all these blessings, but cover me. I need to know that I'm part of your family. I need to know I have that overflowing life blessing that I can give out everywhere. I need to know I have the earnest of my inheritance with me today. I need to have the 6 measures of barley that I'm carrying with me and giving out to those in need. That's a foretaste of the glories of heaven and assures me that you are not going to rest until I make it there. You don't have the Holy Spirit. You need to seek the Holy Spirit, because that's the only way that you know that this man will not rest until he's finished the thing this day. And there we see, brothers and sisters, the path of Ruth, the path of Naomi, coming from the place of labor into the place of rest. And we're all talking about that. No, entering into his rest. But unless you know it's a reality for you, then go in secret. Go in fear, go in shame to the feet of Jesus and ask him to cover you. Amen. Well, I trust that was a blessing to you. Have some musicians come up. You don't know that song, do you? That chorus, "Cover Me"? We had a guitar here. I might be brave enough to try it, but I'm kind of a coward musically without my guitar to hide behind. So I know what I want to sing. I want to sing "On the Wings of a Snow White Dove, God Sends Down His Pure Sweet Love." What number is that? Number 41. Okay, and so this is our journey, coming from a point of desperation and hopelessness, working on the things that we want to do, like Noah did, and getting to the place where God comes down and brings His rest and His blessings to us. Lord, may You come down this evening for anyone who needs that. Noah had drifted on the flood many days, while he searched for land, oh, in various ways. Well, troubles he had some, but not from above. God gave him His sign on the wings of a dove. On the wings of that snow-white dove, God sends down His pure sweet love. A sign from above, on the wings of a dove. Well, Jesus, our Savior, came to earth one day. He was born in a stable, oh, in a manger of hay. While though here rejected, but not from above, God gave us His sign on the wings of a dove. On the wings of a snow-white dove, God sends down His pure, sweet love. A sign from above, on the wings of a dove. Now though I have suffered in many a way, I cried out for healing both night and day. Faith wasn't forgotten by the Father above. He gave me His sign on the wings of a dove. On the wings of a snow-white dove, God sends down His pure, sweet love. A sign from above, on the wings of a dove. Amen. If you need Him, He's available. Live a virtuous life to the best of your ability. Live for others. Let your light so shine. Keep yourself humble. Come touch His feet and say, "Cover me." And He'll give you that blessing because He wants to cover you. Loves the feeling of you snuggling up close to Him. I mean, it's kind of fun, you know. Cold winter day or night. Tiffy gets up in the morning. I'm already up. He comes running over. Jumps, gives me a big hug. Get a blanket and I wrap us both in it. A lot of fun. Very, very fulfilling as a father. That's what God wants to do with you. to wrap you up in his great arms of love and say, I'll cover you. I'll give you a blessing that you can barely carry to take to other people. And I'm not going to rest until I've performed what I've said about you. Amen. He's a good God. Philip, would you come and close the meeting in a word of prayer?
Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for these measures of blessings, Lord, that you have given us. Lord, as your children, Lord Jesus, we know that you have given us many blessings. Lord, we pray that we would be able to give these out, Lord, as we know that they're not for us, Lord, but for others. May we take them to others, and in doing so, show you, Lord. May we be witnesses, may we be examples. May we not just keep hoarding as many as we can, Lord, like squirrels in the winter. But may we be generous with what you have given us, Lord, in whatever amount. Much is given, much is required. So, Lord, we ask tonight, Lord, for your wisdom in each of our lives, Lord, in every matter, no matter how small. Lord, no decision is too small to be planned by you, Lord. Everything, Lord, that is in our lives is already planned out and exactly known by you, Lord. Lord, may we just be able to submit ourselves to your plan. And tonight, Lord, as we go home, Lord, may we continue to think on these things, and may we just strive to live for others, Lord. As we know, as you live for others, staring heaven in the face. Lord, tonight as we go to our cars, I pray that you would just continue to keep us safe, Lord, as we travel home, Lord. Ask and know that you sent your angels along with each one, Lord. And we ask for a blessing of the remainder of the night, Lord, and ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ.
Well, God bless you. Dismissed as we sing that chorus through one more time. On the wings of a snow-white dove, God sends down his pure, sweet love, a sign from above. On the wings of a dove. God bless you all.